Welcome to the Vinyasa Chick podcast just for today, where we talk about something for just today. My name is Haley Duggan, aka Vinyasa Chick, and I'm grateful that you're listening today. We're going to start this podcast with a moment to reflect on something that you're grateful for right here where you are. We have so much to be grateful for, and usually we take this life for granted. When we start to pay attention, we begin to realize how abundant our lives truly are, and our view, our vibe, and how we interact with the world around us starts to shift. So make shift happen. Pause the podcast and think about what you're grateful for right here, right now. Today, I'm grateful that it is not 113 degrees. It's been really warm here in Columbia. It's warm everywhere. We're in like perpetual state of hot girl summer, I guess. So I'm grateful that today it's a little cloudy and windy, and it's not as blistering as it has been. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about how to have a difficult conversation. And so we've all kind of been there before, whether it's an exchange that you need to have with a friend or a loved one, or kind of an even more uncomfortable situation, maybe even in the workplace or with a colleague. We've all kind of been there before. We've all been sitting there dreading a conversation that's been kind of looming over our heads for a while. And so we start to get the nervous sweats, and your stomach like takes another backflip. You're grinding your teeth, you're avoiding the eye contact, but you know that the situation that you're stepping into requires more than your squirminess. But it feels like you don't have, whether it's the courage, the stillness, the know-how, the ability to wade through this uncertainty with a little bit more peace of mind. And so life is full of these super uncomfortable situations, and trying to avoid them is a huge waste of your effort. And so how do we navigate these uncertain and violent waters of having difficult conversations? Even talking about it honestly makes me squirrely in my seat. So a couple things we're going to be talking about today is, why do we shy away from these conversations? How can we prepare for a difficult conversation? How can we stay calm and compassionate through this exchange? So why do we shy away from these conversations? Well, they make us feel uncomfortable. We're really scared of the outcome. And if you're like me, you've already planned it out in your head exactly their response before you even have the conversation. Well, now this person's going to hate me. What if this goes horribly and they freak out? What if everything changes? Even scarier, what if it stays exactly the same? Once I shared in a class that our minds are so powerful and amazing that we can plan out the next 10 years of our life in 2.5 seconds. And so, of course, we've lived through all the multitude of outcomes that there could be from this exchange, what they'll say and how we'll have the last word. But from my own experience with these really difficult conversations, when we bring in our own dialogue, it doesn't usually end well. Like, if you've already planned out, well, I'm going to say this, they can either respond with A or B. If their response to it is A, then this is my follow-up. If it's B, this is what I'm going to say. And so we regret what we did, what we said, what we didn't say, and we kind of miss that moment. We miss the humanness of that experience, that exchange. You know, it's a difficult conversation for the other person too. And when you come into it kind of with your own pretenses and your own agenda, you're taking away that person's opportunity to be able to be real with you, because you're already living kind of in a pre-measured point in your life. Well, this is just how it's going to go. So how do we prepare for those difficult conversations? I think one of the things that I do consistently that has really helped is to get grounded. Just moving some of that nervous energy around. Like, you can take a walk. You can just like shake it out, you know, just hokey pokey all your limbs. Maybe you do yoga. Just move your effing body. Trying to get still and focused is also something that comes into play here and can help you get more grounded. So I used to stand on my head before I would teach yoga. I don't do it anymore because I'm unsure of the safety of your neck in a headstand, but it's really hard to focus on anything else in a headstand other than like not dying. that's an example of taking a more movement situation and a stillness situation into one. So when we come into it from a more settled place, I think it gives us that opportunity to meet ourselves exactly as we are in that moment, and it gives that other person the opportunity to do the same. You want to be able to come into that situation from being open and receptive and non-reactionary. Because like I said earlier, usually the other person we're having this conversation with has already done their own crisis prep for what's about to happen. And they're just as nervous, and if not more so than you are. And so when one person gets still and steady, the reactivity of the entire situation tends to not be as explosive if we're coming into it being more grounded than if we had just rolled in, you know, feeling kind of raw from the situation. And we can't always do that. Sometimes we can't prepare for a difficult conversation. It's just happening in live time. It's like thrust upon you. The other day, I like physically almost walked into someone and had to have this weird dialogue, even though I wasn't ready for it. And by the deer in headlights on their face, neither were they. And so when we're unable to do the prep on the front end, how can you get grounded in that moment? So one of the things I'll do if I'm feeling that way, instead of like really moving, because you imagine if I'm standing there in the grocery store and you're trying to talk to me and I'm like shaking my whole body around, you'll think I'm having some type of medical fit or something. But just like pressing your feet into the floor and being like, I'm noticing my feet pressing into the floor, or even just noticing your breath in, taking that time just to connect to where you are, your feelings in that moment, where you're coming from, so that you can be prepared for what's going on, even if it's happening in lifetime. And so that day when I ran into that person and I really wasn't ready to have this conversation, I kind of told them that, hey, I'm having a weird day today. You know, how are you doing? And then they asked me, oh, what's going on? And we were able to kind of have this exchange. But if I hadn't have said I was having a weird day, they may have come in hot and may have just, you know, unloaded whatever issue it was that we were having. And I took the opportunity to be a little bit vulnerable in that moment and say, I'm kind of having a weird day, so I'm sorry if this goes strange. So something you can do in live time is just noticing the breath, noticing yourself feeling physically supported by the earth, you know, taking ownership and taking inventory of the energy and intention that you're bringing into that situation as it's unfolding in front of you. And so now you're having the conversation. How can you remain calm when things start to get heated or intense or even more uncomfortable than when they started? One of my favorite things that I'll do is I just take my time responding. Even if they keep talking and are not giving me an opportunity to say my piece, sometimes I even prefer that more if someone kind of talks themselves either into a hole or out of a hole or whatever it is just to take my time before I decide to share my words. And I notice when I'm having these like weird reactionary things, when I'm just trying to just get it over with. Oh, I just want to get this over with. I'm just going to say this thing and like move on and that's it. Well, you're going to say that thing and then you can't really take it back. It's out there. You've said it. You've taken an action item to either prove or not prove your character. When we slow down and take our time responding, we can come from response versus reaction. And don't take any of it personally. Right? Your dance partner is probably just trying to survive the conversation and isn't really worried about your feelings. They're kind of more worried about theirs, and they're trying to keep their feelings in check as well. Like they're trying to hold back their, you know, weirdness or feistiness, or maybe they're not. It's just all out there and they're firing on all cylinders, but it's taking all of their effort. And it's probably taking a lot of your effort too, just to keep yourself in check. And so when you give yourself the time and the space in between what's said and then your response, I think it takes some of the reactionary away from it. And I'm going to share a story with you guys. I was in an exchange and it was really, really uncomfortable. And I was taking my time responding and the person didn't like that it was taking me too long. And they kept looking at me. And at one point they said, well, are you going to say anything? And I said, yeah, I'm just thinking. I need a moment to really hear what you've said and to come up with a response that is worthy of sharing. And they gave me my space after that. And ever since then, I haven't had that difficult conversation. But I think this time and space helps the situation for sure. And one of the other things I'll do is I'll ask the person to be more clear. usually if it's a reactionary conversation, if they're just kind of firing off and saying whatever, or you're firing off and saying whatever, the thoughts aren't even a logical thought from beginning to end. And you may hear the end piece of what they're saying, interpret it one way, and respond to just the end piece when really that part wasn't even a part of what they were saying. And so if I ever feel like it doesn't make sense, I don't say, that doesn't make any sense. I just say, can you elaborate on that? Can you explain that more to me? Or can you say that a different way? I'm having a hard time hearing it right now. And again, we're just trying to survive that exchange. So the communication may become cloudy. And what's more important is that to be clear is to be kind, and to be unclear is to be unkind. That's from Brené Brown. And it's a virtue I live my life by. As best I can, I try to be clear and compassionate as much as possible. So to stay calm, I think it helps to take your time. And then moving right on into it and kind of set it up perfectly is, how do we remain compassionate while having these difficult conversations? Maybe someone said something hurtful, and even though you're trying not to take it personally, you're only human, your feelings are in the way. So how do we remain compassionate even when the situation doesn't feel like there's room to be compassionate? I find it really helpful to put a hand on my heart when I'm sharing something difficult, and it reminds me to connect to my heart and to remember that the person across from me, or I'm speaking out into the room, has a heart. And if my heart's feeling this way, maybe theirs has felt that way before too. And even like when I'm teaching a yoga class, if I get nervous, I put my hand on my heart and I just notice, I'm like, okay, you're breathing, heart's beating, this is good. And it gives me that felt experience of connection when I feel like there's a disconnect, when I feel like we're not connected compassionately as humans. And especially when the situation is uncomfortable, right? But sometimes that's not at the forefront of our minds. So putting your hand on your heart, feeling, you know, yourself being present, feeling your place of connection, because I think we do connect through the heart. And it's just that reminder of, I am human. This is a human experience. This person in front of me, or these people in front of me, are all humans. We've felt this way before. And so realizing that we're more connected, even if you're divided on an issue, is really helpful. And acknowledging that we all make mistakes and are stumbling forwards together is kind of all part of it. Something that I hadn't planned to share, but I think it's helpful, is what happens when you don't have a good, difficult conversation. I think giving yourself some time to sit with however it went, to take inventory on what you said and how it could have been better, is a useful practice. And when you can, and when it's appropriate, maybe even coming back to the issue or coming back to the person, and do it in person. Don't send a text. Don't send an email. Don't even do a phone call. You need to see that person face to face and be like, I'm really sorry how that went. I would have loved to have handled it a little bit better. I'm sorry that I was unable to do that day. When you can. I know we can't always do that. But when you can't do that, still taking that opportunity to see, well, how could I have done it better next time? How could I have been more compassionate in that exchange? How could I have remained more calm? How could I have prepared better? How could I have handled it in live time if it was a surprise? And so to end the podcast today, we'll do our mantras just for today. I'll do my best to be clear with my communication with others, no matter the situation. Just for today, I will remain compassionate in my exchanges with those around me, whether it's a pleasant or unpleasant situation. Whatever the situation is, it calls for compassion. Just for today, I won't take things personally when it becomes reactionary. So thanks so much for listening today, you guys. And as always, it really helps to be subscribed to the podcast, to rate and review. It helps Ian and I with what we're trying to do with the podcast. As always, I really appreciate you so much for tuning in today. And I hope you have a great rest of your day. Namaste.